Well, good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Today is the 11th day of February, 2021. And my name is Peter Wickham. In this morning with Mr. Dennis Johnson, you can reach us on 434-1790. Sadly, we have no WhatsApp today. So it's just you, me, Dennis, and the phone calls. Of course, if you want, you can email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I do hope that you will keep me company and keep me busy during the next 4 hours. We continue until 2 p.m., as is our custom, and as is our custom, we start the day with a few prefatory remarks, which I will make, and thereafter, I invite your comments, condemnations, and anything else that goes along with it. Well, we have two bits of news first. The first one is, let me say, a happy belated birthday to the Mighty Griner. I believe his name is Mr. Blenman in other categories, but we know him as the Mighty Griner, the only living Calypsonian that has a road named after him. And the man is a legend, 75 years old, and still going strong, still performing, and still keeping in good health. And Griner, I want to wish you, certainly on behalf of my family and all the Starcom group, many happy returns of the day. I believe you celebrated it yesterday. And I am always inspired by the extent to which you are still active, still moving around, still performing, and still bringing good music and wonderful memories to those of us who know you. So all the best, Griner. Hope that we can continue this tradition until your 80th and beyond, and that you're still able to enjoy such good health. I also have to offer condolences to a faithful listener. Her name is Annette Lorraine Lowe, otherwise known as Tongue Dolly. She passed away at 75 yesterday, a resident of Chalky Mount. Spoke to her daughter this morning, and she said that the mother was a strong believer in the gospel according to VOB 929. So if one attempted to move the dial from VOB 929, she would protest heavily. She listened to me, she listened to Dennis, she listened to David, she listened to Cassie, she listened to yours truly, the one and only, and all others. And she enjoyed the extent to which we kept her company over the years. She has now left us, and she has discontinued her walk on this earth. I would say at 75 years old, it was a good walk, a walk well done. And my condolences on behalf of the Starcom team, also to her daughter, Avril, and family for the loss of their mom. I want to make a quick comment on the COVID situation, and then I want to move on to some politics. Because, of course, while we are in this lockdown mode, I think it's important for us to also be entertained with conversation that has nothing to do with COVID. And I certainly try, as far as possible, not to focus too heavily on the COVID situation, because I think it is something that becomes a bit depressing, quite frankly. So very quickly, I'm happy that we have been able to receive our vaccines. I was so thrilled to see that the partnership between Barbados and Dominica has borne fruit. We have a regional partnership that has produced some amount of vaccines in fairly short order. I am happy that the rollout has already commenced. I'm also happy that the Prime Minister has had the good charity to share some of these vaccines with those around the region, giving priority to the CARICOM staff at the CARICOM Secretariat, the staff and families, some 1,500 of them. Absolutely important that we treat them as a priority, since they are essentially on the front line of maintaining this region. So I'm so happy to hear that, happy that we have been able to start the vaccine. And of course, you don't need to convince me that it is something that we need to do. Sadly, I saw an article in the paper where the Commissioner of Police is saying that some of the officers are objecting to being told they need to vaccinate. I'm still appalled at the silliness, and some might argue the stupidity, of some of our people where this issue of vaccines are concerned. And I would say to the Motley administration, where persons who are in eligible categories are protesting vaccination, I think that we need to make it clear to them first and foremost that no one is obligated to be vaccinated. If you don't want to be vaccinated, don't be vaccinated. But what I would suggest is that you start to compile a list of persons for whom are eligible or who are eligible, who are unwilling to accept the vaccine. And you create another list of persons like myself who are not yet eligible. And any vaccines that they don't want, all like MISO will be happy to take. And I'm sure that there are others in my category, which would be people under the age of 70 who are not in the front line, that are more than anxious to get involved and get vaccinated if persons are naysayers and believe that their human rights are being abused by someone suggesting to them that they should take a vaccine to protect themselves. You know, I am often amazed, as I said, at the level to which conversation declines in this country. Sadly, it is a feature across the United States and across other parts of the world where there are people who don't want to be vaccinated. So I would say, you know, if you feel that it is a breach of your religion, your human rights, your fundamental principles, then don't do it. But please indicate to the authorities that they can make your vaccines available to persons like myself, because where you are unwilling to tread, we are happy to go in there, because the protection that could be afforded for persons from these vaccines is something that I certainly will be happy to avail myself of, and I plan to as soon as it is possible, either here in France or in Barbados, wherever comes first. I am happy to stand in line. So politics and political movements. And we had some interesting conversations over the past weekend regarding politics. And I have been asked to comment on a couple of things. Let's start firstly with rumors about what we could call political movementations between the Democratic Labour Party and the Barbados Labour Party. Sinclair, it is interesting, but he has given no hint of his intentions. But we do know that he had made an appearance at a social partners meeting, which seems to have stimulated some level of interest in his understanding what his future would be. I'm happy to call Chris a friend of mine. He and I do speak from time to time. He has declined to discuss any political intentions he may have. So I really don't know whether that is the case or not. I'm also happy to call Prime Minister Motley a friend. She has also not had any conversations with me regarding her interest in Sinclair or anything of the sort. So anything I say today has absolutely nothing to do with anything that either of the two individuals have told me. What I would say is in relation to my own views on how the situation goes. So as far as Sinclair is concerned, is it logical for him? I guess it could be. I think that he could be rehabilitated to some extent if he disassociates from the Democratic Labour Party, largely because that organization is not in a position to give him any political direction at this time. Is it logical for Prime Minister Motley? I'm not really sure that it helps her considerably. Yes, it does help lend a legitimate DLP voice at this point in time. And yes, it does help to further destabilize the Democratic Labour Party. But I would think that candidacy in the shape of Chris Sinclair is unwise and highly unlikely at this time. The reality of the situation is Prime Minister Motley has all the seats and she has candidate options outside of Sinclair. So the idea that he could cross and become a candidate on the other side is something that seems unlikely to me. And I would also like to think somewhat unwise, but nonetheless, it is something that could happen. And it will be curious to see how the relationship develops going forward. But my sense is that at this stage, Sinclair's utility has a lot to do with the fact that he is a legitimate DLP voice that is lending weight to this conversation at a point in time where we're facing a crisis. And I don't know whether he has any political ambitions one way or the other. The other one is more exciting. This is a shift within the Barbados Labour Party. We are told of rumors, and I should make it clear that these are just rumors, that it might be three people being led to the opposition benches. Certainly, if I were Prime Minister Motley, I would say, in the immortal words of Dirty Harry, who was Clint Eastwood in A Sudden Impact, the movie, "Go ahead and make my day." That would be the best way I could describe it. If indeed these three individuals who are no longer holding, one could argue, lofty office within the Barbados Labour Party wanted to cross the floor, I would think that it would solve a lot of problems for Prime Minister Motley and create a lot of opportunities. None of the three, in my opinion, have a bright political future ahead of them, not for anything that they have done, but certainly it is just a reality of the time. I feel that Prescott has a unique grassroots and pan-African voice. However, neither of the two have, the other two have any independent constituency that I know of. When I say independent constituency, I mean outside of the people that they currently represent. Prescott just freed himself from the collective responsibility of a cabinet and is able to speak freely. My question is, why would he then subject himself to a party whip, other than if he were leading that group on his own? So then it raises the question of a pain and role, if either of them would be interested in such a thing. Pain is a backbencher without assignment, as I understand it. Roe is no deputy speaker. My sense is that he would probably not make his life any better by relinquishing that post for which he receives a salary to cross the floor and become a backbencher in someone else's group. So the implications then would be greatest for the PDP at this time, where it would cease to be relevant. And at an instant, it would bring Atherley's political execution forward by 2 years. He would lose the salary, he would lose the office, he would lose support staff. In the Senate, we would also lose that. And with that would go Franklin, Senator Franklin. He would go by the wayside, along with the other apparently non-political opposition senator, whose name I often forget, largely because she is a non-political opposition senator. So they would all go. And we would probably see new faces come into the fore. So that intrigues me. And certainly, if that ever materialized, it would be intriguing. And I haven't heard any denials one way or the other. I don't know if Dennis heard anything. But I would say, you know, that would be interesting. If it were to come to pass, the Prime Minister, I imagine, would want to replace the three of them in the same way that she replaced Atherley. I think that we know the names of some persons that have been battling about in that regard. And what I would say is, oh, what excitement it would bring to all of our lives at this time if such a change were to take place. So I would say to them, bring it on, guys, bring it on, and bring it on quickly, because we are right now in need of a distraction of a political nature. I haven't had a chance to talk about the impeachment trial, but of course, like you, I've been following it rather closely. Very interesting, but maybe we can talk about that today. I've exceeded my allotted 10-minute time, so we go on now to take calls, 434-1790. You can email me, peter.w.wakeham@gmail.com. Remember, there is no WhatsApp today, so sadly, we can only communicate in this way. Sorry, before we go, Curtis has just reminded me that we should always also remember the late Rashid Foster. This is a gentleman who would always greet moderators with "Blessed be, my brother," and could speak as though he was knowledgeable on most things in the spirit world. Apparently, he died around this time last year. And Curtis, I want to thank you, because I honestly forgot that it was around this time last year that we lost him to cancer. So Rashid is gone. Remember him at this point in time. "Blessed be, my brother," were his keywords of introduction. Don to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, hi. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, morning, sir. How are you doing? Good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too. You know, you can always tell the outcome of a program from the opening remarks, right?
Well, that's what is a good outcome.
I have no doubt that today would be a stinger.
I think
you said that beautiful. However, I see everybody back on the West Indies thing now. Everybody back in the West Indies because of St. Thomas Man, Alan View Boy, you know, bring the West Indies now to prominence.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing about that, with Kyle Mayers, who I salute at this time, and this is just by the way, that his grandfather, in a wrong to see Kyle, because his grandfather, right? We call him Tipper in the St. Thomas Richmond Hall districts. We call him Tipper. Big cricket fan, and followed that boy all over the place. So I think that win should dedicate to Tipper Kyle Mayer's grandfather. Enough of that. enough of that. I had to slip in that, you know.
But that's no problem. Unfortunately, you know me, a cricket.
To let you know that brilliance come from and in that little district there, where the cave where you entered the cave from, you know, Harrison's Cave, is where Kyle Mayers, I believe, you know, his early days and whatnot, at least his grandparents. Okay. However, though, his parents and grandparents, you know, reside there in that district. However, let me go on to this thing with the vaccine. I hear Joyanne here yesterday asking the big question, who would take it, if you would take it and all that. Now, I want to set it straight. As long as they're available, I want to take it. I want to be in the line to take the vaccine. But I only have one question, really. Only one question. And the question that I would ask, I believe, is on the minds of every single young man, including yourself, if it would interfere with the hydraulics.
That's your concern?
Yeah, that's my concern. You're not concerned?
Sir, hold on. I have heard of many people who have taken it. Biden and people in the U.S., a lot of people here in the India. I have a good friend, Barbadian, too, a young guy. A young guy like me. Well, I say young, he's in his 50s like me. Dr. Burgess, who is on the front line in the United Kingdom. Yeah. He took both doses. And to the best of my knowledge, the hydraulics still working. He landed the plane still. So the landing gear still coming down. Yeah. He's a good person, because he's a Bajan myself and yourself. And he's someone who, he's my go-to person in relation to this COVID thing, because he would want to be first. And it's the same Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine that he took. Mm-hmm. So I am optimistic. So I can put that in your thing.
That's only my one concern. So tell Dennis we go.
Okay.
Tell Dennis.
All right.
So I would take the vaccine, and on a very serious note, though, I would like to urge all my friends and all people who consider me to have a little common sense to let the science, let the medical people advise
them. Guide them.
And guide them. You all right? And on that note, I would wish, though, that we get another batch of vaccine in short order. And I am truly and thankful that in this short order, or this short time, we was able to receive some vaccine doses. Yeah. So I must take my hat, though, to the leaders and shapers at this time that guided our path, right? And with that, within a few words, I want to give it the thumbs up, and I will hope common sense prevail. However, though, you just talk about the political thing, right? Mm. And, you know, you speak for me. You really speak for me when you speak about Chris Sinclair. Now, I could go on the mountain top and shout that Chris Sinclair is my friend. Mm-hmm. I could also go on the mountain top and shout that Prime Minister Motley is my friend also. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that Chris Sinclair gets some work to do. I'm happy that Chris Sinclair is a part of the shaper of government policies at this time, in his capacity that he's playing now. And I would like one day to see Mayor Motley and Chris Sinclair on the same team. That is what I would like.
I think that boat sailed, though.
When you say sail, you mean?
Boat sailed. I think the time for that has passed. And I trying to see how that gonna work. I trying to see how that gonna work. But you stick a pin, cause Dennis tells me we had to take a commercials. But yes, sir. So you want to see them singing from the same hymn sheet,
yeah.
In the same choir. And I'm suggesting to you that I really don't see how that gonna work. Is it beneficial right now to either of them to have each other on board? I mean, in terms of the long-term political realities, how does that help Prime Minister Motley?
It's my love and affection for both people, okay?
I will let that
happen. Because I don't know if you remember, but even when I joined the Barbados Labour Party, right, I constantly say to moderators when somebody attacked me or when somebody trying to validate me, I used to say, hey, I still leave some friends in the Democrat Labour Party. And I used to call Chris Sinclair first. I used to call George Pilgrim. I used to call Roller Jones. Them is people that I have great respect for, and they will always be my friends. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that little window of hopefulness that I would like to see Mayor Motley and Chris Sinclair singing from the same hymn sheet. Because I know Miss Motley, Prime Minister of Barbados, is a political guru. And I can say Chris Sinclair equally so as well. All right? And I would like to see two of those brilliant politicians, right? In Parliament again. Well, one's still there, but I would like to see Chris Sinclair in Parliament again. And if it means closing ranks with the Prime Minister, so be.
But sir, would you not also like to see the second coming?
What you mean of the Democrat Labour Party?
Of the Lord.
I would like to return to planet Earth again, if I should ever depart, right? But I don't believe in a lot of things that people say to me, especially a lot of quotations from the Bible. I still got my crystals, okay?
The point I'm making is that I believe that a lot of us...
I believe if there's a second coming for anybody, I want to be in that second coming. And I wouldn't like to live nowhere else at all different to on Earth.
All right. I'm just saying to you that I know they got a lot of things that we would all like to see. And I think a lot of us that call the program that believe in a second coming would like to see it come to pass. I personally don't believe it will, but I appreciate that most others did. But the point I'm making is that I just not seeing the reality. I think the reality, sir, is that while I share the affection that you share for Chris Sinclair, I think Chris has made some fundamental errors in terms of his political strategy. And I think that these will haunt him for the rest of his life. The reality also is that Chris and me are about the same age. They are in the same age group politically. So if you say that Prime Minister Motley has 10 to 15 years ahead of her at the level of leadership, to me, for Chris Sinclair to go into politics now again and expect anything other than leadership, that would be, to me, a demotion. Because he's already held the second highest office.
I don't agree with you at all. Right? How do you... Okay, this WhatsApp been floating around last weekend. I mean, you speak to it via the event of that. Where three members from the ruling party seem to be on the move, right? What do you think about that?
But right, I said that I find that if they're going to be on the move, they should move. Because I would say move and move fast and try and make some space, because the reality of the situation is that it's not going to change anything. I can tell you, though, it would offset Adelie.
Let me look at this thing. You give me a little run there. But let me bring this to a conclusion here. In Billy Miller, I'm not as in their last days, in her quite days of the parliamentarian in Parliament, in Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandford days, right? of his quiet years, Onasa and his quiet years, right? I single out them few. There has been a few more too, like Louis Tell and when them people get up in Parliament and speak in their last days, right? People listen. People listen. People want to hear what they had to say because they would see from their posture at that time that they was speaking from a senior position, all right? And people listen to them. Today, who listened to George Payne? Let me be frank. Who listened to George Payne? Right,
and that's the reason why I'm saying to you, I'm agreeing with you that if he leaves, I don't really know it's gonna cause a ruffle, but he would get more. He would get more money if he can get two or three people to go with him. He would get more money. And as they say, he will also
Adelie. Go with him here. If that should happen, Miss Motley, I would advise the call election.
Nah, I would say let call election. Let him sit down, cross there, and cool out.
Cool out. Man, look, yeah. Let me tell you something. A leader must bring something to the table. Mm. I don't think that George Payne, I pull back that, Dennis, I hope you got that. I don't think that George Payne muster enough public
possibility,
respect,
public interest
across the spectrum to command any favorable placing as a leader. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Anyway, right. That's enough for me. I go on.
All right. Take care. Good to hear you. And we'll talk again.